As we've walked through Holy Week and experienced that Jesus is suffering and his death, now in this Easter season, we have the opportunity to receive more fully the joy of his resurrection. We've noted that Jesus came to establish his kingdom. Jesus is the king. But he chose the cross as his throne. And he tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. It's through the resurrection that his victory is revealed to the world, that his kingship is made clear, that which was hidden on the cross, that which was inaccessible to us, is now made visible in his rising from the dead. We hear St. John in his letter today telling us about this kingdom of Christ, this victory that he has accomplished. And he says that we too can be victorious with him. When he says the victory that conquers the world is our faith. So what kind of kingdom is this that Jesus has established? What kind of conquering does he want to accomplish? How does faith conquer? When we read this in the context of the rest of that first letter of St. John, we see that faith conquers by way of love, not by force, not by the strength of argument, not by manipulation. It is love that conquers. It is love that is the stuff, the material of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. So St. John encourages us and shows us the way that is supposed to work. We love God. Our love for God will automatically, necessarily overflow in our love for neighbor. So we live in this world, which is not where Jesus' kingdom is. We live as subjects of Jesus the King, first and foremost. So we live in this world following the laws of our heavenly kingdom, which means that we follow the law of love. If we love God correctly, then we'll know how to live in this fallen world correctly and to love our neighbor authentically. This is the way St. John put it. Love is this, that we keep his commandments. This is what Jesus had said to the apostles at the Last Supper. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he gave them this commandment to love one another as he has loved them. So St. John says, we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So when we love God, we know necessarily that's going to overflow in the authentic way of loving our neighbor. Love is what conquers for the faith. Love is the ultimate proof of the existence of God, of Jesus being alive, of Jesus being at work in our world today. Love conquers for the faith. Jesus, or St. John, had told us that the victory that conquers the world is our faith. So friends, what is faith? This is such a central question for us, such a central concept, that oftentimes we receive a definition of faith from the world that is actually mocking us, that is actually not what faith is. The world wants to say that faith is believing something on the basis of no evidence. That's not what faith is, brothers and sisters. Faith is belief or trust in that which cannot be known or proven by empirical evidence alone. Because we know that there's something beyond the material world, there is something transcendent. And how do we come to know these things? It's not by the same kind of evidence that science gives us. So let's look at our gospel passage today. Hopefully we can understand a little bit more this concept of faith. Thomas was not present with the other apostles when Jesus appeared to them the night of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And he says that he will not believe unless he sees with his eyes and touches with his hands. He wants this empirical evidence. In other words, he does not believe their testimony. He does not have faith in what they have said. It is evidence, and they were certainly convinced of it, but he was not willing to accept it unless he had this empirical evidence. So if seeing is believing, as Thomas seems to think, there's really no such thing as faith then, is there? His faith is what goes beyond that empirical evidence. But in the end, friends, let's not be too hard on Thomas. One, because we're way more like him than we like to admit. And two, Thomas does prove to have faith. You see, when Jesus comes back the following week and Thomas decided that he was going to stay with the community of believers, he has this opportunity to encounter Jesus risen from the dead, to see and touch him. But he does take the next step of faith. From what he does see, he believes and proclaims what is unable to be seen. He makes the greatest act of faith in all of the scriptures, the most complete proclamation of who Jesus is, when he says, "My Lord and my God." Faith isn't a decision arrived at without evidence. We should seek the available evidence. And in a sense, it's good that Thomas wanted that encounter with Jesus. But the evidence we will have will never take place of our need to decide in faith, our need to engage our will to choose to believe. Just as Thomas chooses to believe that he is in the presence of God made man, something that could never be seen, could never be proven totally by empirical evidence. So our faith, which is what gives us victory, which what helps us conquer the world in love, is not something devoid of evidence. It's something that we have great evidence for, but then we take the next step to trust and to believe. What kind of evidence do we have? Well, like Thomas, we have the evidence of the apostles, those who are able to see and touch and speak with and eat with the risen Jesus, the very ones who saw him crucified and laid in the tomb are the ones who experience him now alive. Their testimony, which was so authentic that they all went to their deaths, staying true to their proclamation, to what they had come to know as true. We have evidence in our own lives when we experience in different ways the presence of God and the risen life of Jesus through the sacraments, through our experience of prayer. Every once in a while, we have the felt experience of God present with us. Or even more, we see God at work in others, in the saints, or in people who are living their faith so well, so authentically, that we know that it's not humanly possible. It's not their human strength that's at work. It is the Spirit of God who is alive, who is at work in them. And occasionally also, we might see or experience a miracle or know someone who has been the beneficiary of one. There are even miracles that are tested by our latest scientific methods and proven to have no known scientific explanation. In fact, we're going to have in a few weeks a parish mission about miracles and their meaning. Okay, the kind of tagline of this presentation is seeing is believing. From what evidence we do have about these miracles that happen, whether they be healings or Eucharistic miracles or what we've come to know about the Shroud of Turin, all of these things studied by science, by what evidence we do have, it is reasonable to conclude that our faith is true, the spiritual dimension is real, that God is real, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that He is at work in the world today. But even with all this evidence, it's still the same thing. It will require for us the decision, the next step of faith, to go from what we do see, what we can know empirically, to what is unseen, to what cannot be known in that way. So I encourage you to take part in our parish mission, or especially if you have a friend who doesn't see the Christian faith as reasonable, just to simply invite them. So, this is interesting. I want to see your thoughts on this presentation. Invite them to come. Maybe they're a little bit like Thomas, but maybe this will be their chance to come to see and experience the reality of Jesus who is alive and with us. In the end, friends, let's remember that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The greater our faith, the more blessed we are, the more trust we place in Jesus, in the testimony that we have received from the apostles, the more our hearts are open to experience the flood of His gift and His mercy. It's the final word here about divine mercy. As I mentioned, Jesus at the Last Supper said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And how hurt he must have been when these very same apostles denied even knowing him and ran away from him just hours after that, after he gave them the precious gift of his body and blood. Can you imagine what your first thought would be if you returned to see your friends after they all betrayed you and abandoned you in your hour of need? Well, we see what Jesus does in the resurrection. And he doesn't come with condemnation or anger or to tell him, "Oh, how that hurt me." He comes with the gift of peace, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the gift of forgiveness, and entrusts to them the ministry of reconciliation, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Jesus comes back to us in the resurrection, not with condemnation, not with punishment for what we deserve, but with forgiving love and mercy. And he wants us to have renewed encounters with him in the sacrament that he established at that very moment of his resurrection, with that very encounter, that reunion with his apostles when he entrusted to them this authority to forgive sins. We experience that in confession, in the sacrament of reconciliation. Jesus knows and has been wounded by all of our sins, but he has nothing but love and a desire for good for you and to give you the abundance of his mercy. So let's not be afraid to approach him in this blessed sacrament here on the altar, but also in that beautiful sacrament of healing in the confessional.